Good morning. This is Alice Hamilton with Hudson Mohawk Indie Media Radio, and we're very happy to have Jeff Rook back. We've had him on the show once before, and he is the Executive Director of Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
And Jeff is going to first give us a little background on what Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, or PEER, is. And then we're going to talk about some recent press releases that they have brought to light, or press releases that are bringing to light some issues in the environmental world. So what is PEER?
PEER is a service organization for people that work inside public agencies like fish and game departments and land management agencies, as well as agencies like the Environmental Protection Agency. And EPA has been the source of an awful lot of work for us. People from these agencies, when they run into problems where they don't think that the department they're working for is doing the right thing, a lot of times, rather than directly becoming martyrs, they'll come to us and ask whether we can help ventilate a problem so that they can do their jobs better.
All righty. And so what's in the news these days?
Well, one of the biggest things that concerns us is the laws that protect people from when they report violations of environmental laws may be administratively rewritten so that they don't apply to public employees anymore. So the people that work for EPA and the state agencies, the DEPs and the DEQs, those agencies that protect water and air quality, can get into trouble and not have much legal protection if they are pursuing enforcement cases against politically connected corporations. Formerly, they were protected by laws that said you can't be discriminated against or retaliated against when you are trying to administer these laws. The Bush administration is now signaling that they may want to close out use of these laws by public employees using an ancient common law doctrine called sovereign immunity, which means the king can do no wrong. And if this move takes place, then all of these federal employees will be stripped of access to review of retaliation against them in pollution cases.
And it has definitely happened that some public employees who have brought some problems to light have been the victims of various types of harassment.
Yes, there are probably about 20 cases a year just in the federal EPA alone, and there are other cases that take place in other agencies, even agencies like the Department of Defense. PEER now has a case involving a monitor at a chemical weapons storage facility in Kentucky. He said that the devices to detect leaks weren't working, and he found a security clearance lifted. So under the Clean Air Act, he has a right to have that decision reviewed outside of the Department of Defense. If this proposal goes through, he'd be basically out of luck and out of work.
So this really would contribute to more government secrecy, essentially.
More government secrecy and less ability of conscientious people to bring problems to light. And given what we're seeing in public agencies like FEMA and others, the Army Corps of Engineers is another example, where there are just horrendous consequences for malfeasance in these agencies, and unless the experts inside have a right to speak, the problems can be compounded.
And why was there a whistleblower clause included in these laws if they hadn't intended them to cover public employees?
The reason that you need these provisions is because there's an awful lot of money at stake in these matters. And in many cases, it's multi-millions or billions of dollars. And Congress did intend, we believe, to include public employees, and in many instances, they specified it. This would be an attempt, as has happened many times during the Bush years, to administratively rewrite a law that Congress has passed in a way to make it more narrow and less protective.
So somebody who is working for a private sector company who did this would be protected, but then if you're working within a government agency...
you wouldn't be protected.
Okay.
And while we think that this effort by the Bush administration is without merit, it'll probably take 2 or 3 years to sort it out if they proceed. And in the meantime, scores of cases will be thrown into limbo.
So how is it, where is it right now? Is it in a court or court of appeals or
something?
It's
in a special administrative review board that's convened by the Secretary of Labor, Lane Chao, a woman who is married to Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. And from there, if she decides to go ahead with this move, we'll have to take it to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta. And from there, it could go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
So is there any way to prevent that from happening, needing to go to appeal, or no?
If Secretary Chao does the right thing, then this would all be a great big never mind, and we would be delighted.
Okay. And clearly that would affect how PEER is able to operate, because a number of your people are actually whistleblowing under these specific statutes, right?
In many instances, we have people who contact us after they've blown the whistle, or as we often say, they're already in the career emergency room. While they may be in the right, a lot of times they're like little VW bugs that cross into an intersection with the right-of-way and are hit by a Mack truck that ran the light, and the person in the little VW is in the right, but they're still smashed.
Hmm. Well, I think you missed your calling. Maybe you should have been an author. That was pretty graphic image there. That was a good one. And returning to the EPA specifically, we're talking with Jeff Rooks, who is the executive director of PEER, and the website is www.peer.org. And he is going to tell us about some recent developments regarding the EPA, some press releases.
We've been trying to draw attention to what we call a creeping corporate takeover of EPA. Traditionally, what's happened is, particularly during the Bush years, is they've put corporate lawyers and lobbyists in high positions. Now what's going on is that corporations are getting involved in research projects by giving EPA grants and doing joint research projects, so that the entire R&D orientation of the agency is more toward corporate regulatory purposes rather than broad public health purposes. In addition, EPA has proposed to put 5% of its total workforce positions out to bid for possible replacement by private contractors. And if this goes through, and this would only be the first installment of more such contracts in coming years, it would be a very large new corporate presence inside the agency. And significantly, some of the positions are enforcement positions, positions that are in the forensic lab that does the backup work to support civil and criminal prosecutions against corporations. And we think it's of some concern.
Right. You wouldn't want them affiliated with anybody, somebody working in these forensic labs.
One of the things we've noticed in states that allow these sort of corporate placements inside the environmental agencies is a lot of time you've got corporations that are working both sides of the street. So, for example, in New Jersey, we just called attention to the fact that the state's top water quality consultant also advises the state's top polluters how to evade the rule the consultant has sort of set up. And the problem is that oversight of contractors, as we see in places like Iraq as well as New Orleans, is not the government's strong suit. And one of the set of positions that are being outsourced are the people that oversee the contracts. So in EPA, you may, in the not-too-distant future, see the contractors overseen by contractors.
And I think you have in your press release that a government accountability office study in April stated that the EPA lacks the safeguards to evaluate or manage potential conflicts of interest in corporate research agreements already.
Yes, and those agreements, which have doubled during the Bush years, are of concern, because where they're taking the agency is into areas that we've talked about in earlier shows, such as human subject research involving pesticides and other chemicals. So, for example, the most famous one of these corporate joint ventures was the CHEER study, where the American Chemical Council gave EPA a few million dollars to do a study in which parents in Jacksonville, Florida, were paid money in increasing amounts to spray pesticides in the room primarily occupied by their infant children under age 3. And the purpose of the experiment was to measure how much of the chemicals were absorbed in the baby's bloodstream as measured by urine tests. The incentive that was involved in that experiment, which was, I think, the most insidious, was the parents got free use of camcorders to record their baby's behavior and got to keep the camera and the baby pictures only if they stayed in the program for the entire 2-year study period. When that, when we were able to publicize that experiment, Congress put pressure on the agency to stop it. But unfortunately, the agency only stopped that one experiment, but announced that they're willing to do similar sort of experiments with corporate partnership in the future.
So the EPA partners with a lot of with different groups to do this, to do studies. And who is the primary partner right now?
The primary partner is the chemical industry in the form of the American Chemical Council. But there are also kind of a host of other, primarily chemical and pesticide companies, that see it in their self-interest to do their research jointly with EPA. And one of the problems is in a world in which there's fiscal pressure on discretionary programs like research, that the fewer available dollars are directed to these things where the industry will dangle some money. And so as a result of EPA devoting more of its resources to partner with corporations to do this kind of regulatory work on pesticides and other commercial poisons, the work that isn't getting done, according to the scientists, are the long-term basic research projects for which there is no corporate sponsor, but which are the fundamental bedrock of environmental decision-making. So that sort of long-term program is suffering while we're doing short-term, almost with an eye toward stock prices, sort of targeted applied research projects.
Plus, one of the first things they taught me in graduate school was who funded the study. It has a lot of bearing on what data gets released or emphasized and all sorts of other things. So that seems kind of odd that there's pairing, but this kind of pairing, but it has been happening for quite a while. This is not new.
It started in the mid-90s, but what was sort of a trickle and done in a fairly exceptional mode has now become a fairly prominent factor. As I said, it's doubled during the Bush years, and we expect it to increase. Part of the incentive for industry to participate in these things is that the resulting studies are automatically accepted by EPA. And if the type of studies they do are used for approval of new pesticides or chemicals, it's a very worthwhile investment for the agency to make.
And there's a research position open in the agency right now?
It just got filled. The Senate confirmed the person on Friday. The person that heads the EPA research program is somebody that comes from a university center for risk analysis that most of the funding comes from corporations. As a matter of fact, his funders consist of almost a who's who of the biggest polluters in the country. So Dow, DuPont, all the oil companies are the major backers of this person's name is George Gray, and he's the new assistant administrator in charge of research and development for EPA. He's going to be overseeing this program, and he indicated during his confirmation hearings he sees nothing the matter with these corporate partnerships and will probably increase them. And we take him at his word, given his own track record. That's how he's made his living. So we can expect more of these kind of situations where EPA basically decides what it's going to research based upon the extent to which corporations pony up dollars. And we think that's a very dangerous trend.
So what does PEER recommend right
well,
now?
Right now, we're at a little bit of a loss because this person that's in charge has been confirmed. But we would think that, at the very least, the agency should implement the recommendations of GAO, have conflict of interest rules to make sure that there isn't sort of inside self-dealing in these kind of joint projects with taxpayer money. But probably the most fundamental thing the agency could do is develop a coherent, long-range research program that's not altered day-to-day by corporations coming in and offering it money. If they have a long-term plan that isn't going to be altered by what goes on each fiscal quarter, then this wouldn't be of such concern. But EPA's own outside advisors have said that increasingly the agency is lacking any kind of coherence. And scientists tell us that really what gets researched now is a function of decisions by political decision makers rather than scientists. It almost becomes the topic of the month. And for an agency like EPA, that this is supposed to be the nation's premier research operation for environmental and health effects, that's disastrous.
So, well, we appreciate your being on the show with us today, and wanted to give out the website again, which is www.peer.org. Jeff, is there anything you'd like to add? That was pretty grim, to be honest.
I wish we had some good news. I mean, there is some good news on the human testing front, and that is EPA, under congressional pressure, largely behind this CHEERS scandal, has finally agreed to propose safeguards, which is a good thing because for the first time, EPA is proposing to abide by the Nuremberg Code, which was adopted after World War II. The bad news is that what EPA has proposed is filled with all kinds of loopholes, and we're working to try and put pressure on the agency to close those loopholes. But at least with respect to human testing, there's some progress in that EPA is promising finally to adopt some sort of safeguards for infants, children, the mentally infirm, and other things like that.
So there's at least there's scrutiny. It sounds like an area that definitely needs scrutiny. And I do want to say that I think your website is really informative, and I do want to direct people to the website.
Thank you very much.
It's really got a lot of great information. Okay, thank you very much, Jeff. And even though it's grim, we do appreciate the really great work that Pierre does.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.